And so now we'll put the telephone calls and go on to World Watchers. And this is Mae Brussel. It's KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California. And it's broadcast number 642, March the 26th, 1984. We missed the anniversary last week. March 21st this week of 1933 is when Adolf Hitler came to power in Germany just 50 years ago. And he really was a genius. That Fourth Reich is just booming along, and he has must have a lot of satisfaction in knowing how well the system has been working in the last 50 years. It has not faded away. Whatever charisma or control he had still seems to be around. We begin the program with a resume of events that it took place just a year ago tonight to see how fast the world spins. Just a year ago tonight, I got a picture of Fritz Kramer from the Pentagon, thanks to Congressman Panetta. A negative photograph, February 27th, 1970. And then I took a picture of a Fritz Kramer, who was Hitler's general, and sent the Henry Kissinger's mentor and Hitler's general to Fritz Kramer in Washington, D.C., and had the two pictures side by side and said, "Is this you?" He wasn't outraged. He didn't answer me. He didn't say, "Oh, I can see where you might think it was." I didn't get an answer, which doesn't prove that it is the same person, but it's been a year, and he's still in the offices, I presume, with retired General Daniel Graham, who's pushing for the space stations, and they share offices in Washington, D.C. I don't know what else he does. He's never photographed with Henry Kissinger when he travels around, and on the sheet that I typed up about Kissinger being in San Jose, I asked the question why he's never seen, why he isn't visible. I was talking a year ago about the Bulgarian connection to shooting the Pope, the propaganda that was on NBC, and how the CIA agents in the United States were being castigated for stopping to discredit the Bulgarian connection. The CIA refused to go along with the Bulgarian story that NBC was pushing. Incidentally, there's a documentary or a book out on NBC slanting the news and propaganda, particularly the way they covered the Israeli invasion of Lebanon and slanted the massacre, which was bad enough. And I thought of Marvin Kalb and Bernard Kalb, and we talked about the evidence of the shooting of the Pope. It was already a couple of years that since that happened, since 1981, and they keep pushing the communist link, the Bulgarian KGB link. There was a story this last January that a military indictment from Istanbul came out that said Mehmet Ali Aja, who's serving a life sentence for shooting Pope John Paul II, ran a smuggling racket in Istanbul before he was arrested and escaped from Turkey. This is a new article out of Turkey that said he was part of smuggling before 1979, and that he has been charged in absentia with the murder of a newspaper man, many of you know that, Abdi İpekel, I-P-E-K-E-L, former editor-in-chief of a newspaper in Turkey. But this article confirmed that he had long been in smuggling and narcotics traffic before he killed the editor, and of course he was allowed to walk out of that jail and mingled with trained assassins in the Middle East and in Frankfurt, and traveled around Europe before he was outside the Vatican and shot at the Pope. I also heard this week that Sergei Antonov, who was charged as part of that conspiracy, Aja had named him as part of the conspiracy. Antonov served over a year in jail as a suspect. The Italian government released him, and now they're calling him back. They're going to put him back in prison. I don't know what the new evidence is, but they're ready to pull him in and put him back in prison. A subscriber to World Watchers sent me an article from Kansas that I really appreciated, and it had to do with Madeline Murray O'Hare, and her son, Bill Murray, was speaking in Kansas this last month, and he's a Christian. He tells what it was like to have mom as his mother is an atheist. He's a former atheist, and he was telling the problems that he had growing up and going to people's homes. She was afraid they'd have prayer at the dinner. And he was giving a speech in Kansas, auspices of a super prayer breakfast. And he was going to talk. It said, Mr. Murray will talk about information on why the Soviet Union refused citizenship to self-declared American atheist, his mother, and what relationship the Lee Harvey Oswald family had with Madeline Murray O'Hare. Now, that was a complete surprise to me. I didn't know there was a relationship between Lee and Marina Oswald with Madeline Murray O'Hare. And it came at a time that there's a court battle in Los Angeles taking place because Larry Flint had signed over or given power of attorney to Madeline Murray O'Hare, the atheist, and her son John, and Larry Flint's brother is fighting this in court to keep her from having control of Hustler magazine. He wrote this letter saying that she had the power of attorney to take over Hustler, and she was moving into his offices and taking over the organization while he is confined to Butner, which is an institution for mind control, and goodness knows what they're doing to him there. Somebody who listens to these broadcasts sent me Bob Cutler's compilation of information of Gordon Novell. He's one of the fellows that moved into Larry Flint's home and into the Hustler offices, and there's a resume of Novell's activities in the CIA and how he worked at Double Check Organization and the Schlumberger outfit that armed the Bay of Pigs and worked with Guy Bannister, who was from the World Anti-Communist League and the FBI, and worked with Clay Shaw. And this was Gordon Novell, who moved into Larry Flint's house when he started writing about the Kennedy assassination and Larry McDonald and Western goals. And this resume also says that Gordon Novell was confined to the Federal Correctional Institution in Butner, North Carolina in 1978, and it was confirmed by the facilities there that he was put into Butner for heavy behavior modification practices. Now, I wasn't aware that Gordon Novell was recycled through that institution, but he's worked with all levels of the CIA and the people that were behind the murder of John Kennedy. And Novell came into the Flint operation at a time where Larry Flint was obviously drugged and beat down. And his latest symptom, as I say, is handing over the Hustler to Madeline Murray O'Hare. In 1973, in my article in The Realist, the Senate Select Committee is part of the cover-up, I had a section called The Martial Law Without the Riots. And I have the article, of course, the magazine's at home, and David Emery turned to a section and sent it back to remind me what I wrote in there. I said that there are institutions that had to be dismantled, such as the UCLA Institute to study the causes of violent behavior. That's the one that Ronald Reagan set up. And NSKIDS, E-N-S-K-I-D-S, which is part of the National Security Council, 1974, the act of infiltrating the United States whenever necessary. It's a provision for the CIA to work in the United States. And then I mentioned the United States Medical Center in Springfield, Missouri, where they had Larry Flint, and also Butner, North Carolina, where he is now. As I say, the finale of this saga is not the last story or the end of it, but it's interesting that Madeline Murray, who now turns out to have associations with Lee and Marina, some kind, and I'm anxious to see what those are. I'll have to follow that up. Is that she had a role in that, and now she infiltrated also the Larry Flint home and his operation and business. Another listener sent me a page from Eagle Magazine, June 1984, about Mitchell Werbel, who I've mentioned on a lot of broadcasts, and how he moved into Larry's home along with Novell and these various characters, Timothy Leary. And this article refers to him as a soldier of fortune, a strong anti-communist who died December 16, 1983, and he was working as a security consultant to Larry Flint, and it goes into his allegations of CIA contracts, working with Robert Vesco, working as a hitman, wherever there's somebody to be hired or hit, Werbel would be there, willing to help. Anyone that's on a hit list and wants me to help them, I will. These were the kind of people around the Hustler operation again, and the articles that come out praising their patriotism and working for Flint. And then, of course, where Bell died in Los Angeles in December, but Novell and Madeline Murray O'Hara and a whole gang of them are still around and can continue to do a lot of harmful things. Now, there are so many stories in the news. I was mentioning it earlier on the talk show part of this program, the half-hour section where I take calls. I have a pile of important articles. I just started typing some this week on gum labels to put in a book where I can have access to them and know where they're filed. And one day I was spent maybe doing 120 top articles, the newspaper, the source, the date. There's just so much. But I'm going to put most of those aside, get to them eventually, and I'm going to talk about Edwin Meese because he's so important. And if the special prosecutor is assigned to the case, it will take several months, and then we have time to send in more ammunition and look for more leads and go after this fellow. I have done two specific broadcasts on him, and this would be part three. And I spent the last 3 days just across filing the Edwin Meese story and breaking it down into the several categories. I have discussed, as I say, on the air, sections of him that I'm going to update and show you what I had 2 weeks ago and then what is broken since then on those various subjects, because the information is filling in very nicely. I have large sheets like 10 by 12 inches, and if you hear paper rattling, it's because I couldn't break them off the big sheets. I didn't want to, so I brought them into the station, and I type in columns and put down different subjects because there's so many facets of the Edwin Meese story. And I have several pages on the chronology, the dates, and the way the events come down to fall in chronological order, when stock was sold, when it was bought, when somebody did him a favor, when they got a promotion, his past career in with various people. And I put that always when I start a detailed study of a particular issue, a person in chronological order. Then I have several pages of the hanky-panky to be investigated, and then that breaks into subjects like the Carter papers, the military promotions, the house loans, the involvement of promoting people, the General Services Administration, the postal clerk, not declaring the earnings that he had, keeping his interest out of his tax records, not telling the White House or other people, allegedly not telling them about stock that his wife bought. So I have all of these various, what could be crimes, in various columns to see how they go. And then the biotech corporation, and I want to go into that in detail because that's the one that caught my fancy that I talked about last week, and I want to spend time this evening on the biotech. But the categories, I broke the Watergate gang, which people working with Reagan that are involved in these scandals now tie back to Watergate, and the cancer gang, the medical experiment, the mental lab, medical labs. I'm very suspicious of a cancer circuit and the causes of cancer, the treatment, and the way it's become a multinational business. The cancer gang fits into this. The Carter Reagan papers, the General Services Administration, the military connections, the mafia connections, the California buddies that moved to Washington with Meese and Reagan. And I've broken down these categories: evidence that has been altered, missing, witnesses that have died, questions to ask, where the various appointments are. And I've been separating. It's not easy to take a certain article and then break it down into like 15 or 16 categories and then scotch tape them on pinups so that they read easier. But in the end, it's the only way I can handle all this material. There was a story in the San Jose Mercury this week. Meese joins the list of Reagan officials under a cloud. And many articles have said that Reagan has remained untarnished. In fact, I was told on national television, NBC, this last week, Sunday night, there was a story about him being protected like Teflon, and maybe the cracks are beginning to show. He's had so many appointments that are under fire, and they began to list them in the newspaper, approximately at least 45 of them, who've been ensnarled in ethically questionable or illegal businesses. This article says Meese is not alone. 45 people from the Reagan administration have been caught with questionable professional practices before or during their government service, and some left the government service because the stories were about to break. At least 24 resigned or were fired. Only one has been convicted. Others have been criticized and censured by internal investigations. Many resisted calls for their resignation. Some, like Secretary of the Navy John Layman, have been tied to the lobbyist offices that he represented, and then he got into the Navy and gave those people big contracts. Some leave and then are investigated or not even reprimanded for business ventures that they will profit by tremendously. But no administration, I don't think, has ever had such a long list. At least 24 resigned. And then there's some that don't even come in, like the periphery links, like Frank Sinatra and Johnny Carson putting on the inauguration, and new stories of Giacana and the links of Sinatra to the mob, or Johnny Carson's closeness to Jack Catane and John DeLorean and the cocaine crown of Hollywood, Robert Durand and DeLorean Motors. These people around them are not visible now in any sense, but on the periphery are these various scandals, Paul X. Salt and articles in the Sacramento Bee and Las Vegas of sure mafia connections to Paul X. Salt. There are endless people that should be called in, even Helene Von Damme, who uses Christian Von Damme's name, who's married to Byron Leeds, and he's down there with the Bank of America in Bolivia and could have very strong links to Klaus Barbie and the cocaine connections down there. These people aren't called for questioning. So around Reagan, if there's at least 45 who've been ensnarled and 24 have resigned, I could have a list of 45 that should be called, and then that guy should just maybe be hung on the heels by Mussolini, but that won't ever happen. One large story, I don't know if it went on the wire services, Saturday, March 24th, 1984, that I'll bring up right away because I hinted the mafia connections, that there was more to this money tree. Shake that money tree, because nobody who has wheeled and dealed as much as Edwin Meese and Ronald Reagan, the two of them for 17 years, there's no way that a $16,000 investment in a company called Biotech, that we would guess that this would shake these people out. But it was run by Dr. Earl Bryan, and I knew it would be important. Now it turns out that Biotech has a subsidiary that's involved with 800 slot machines in Las Vegas, and that's only the beginning. The story is a front page San Francisco Examiner. Meese's wife tied to illegal Vegas slot deal. That's the future attorney general, tied to illegal slot machines. And then the large black letters say Meese's wife tied, just without the illegal on the front page, to slot deal. And page two, it's the illegal slot deal. That the wife's firm broke the Small Business Administration's gaming laws and got a $5 million loan as a special favor, and we'll go into that in detail, at a time that they were buying a company with slot machines in Las Vegas, 800, 700 slot machines in Las Vegas, and goodness knows what else. But the reading of the article is so complicated that when you get to the company called Quest-Tech, Q-U-E-S-T-E-C-H, that is one of the numerous biotech subsidiaries. Dr. Earl Bryan runs the biotech, and has these numerous, and every one of them should be listed, that they loan money to slot machine operations. But then it says that gambling investment was made in the form of a loan to a Las Vegas company, not named, owned by a second firm, not named. The parent company then loaned the money to a third firm, not named, which used it to buy two other companies, not named, that owned 6 and 200 slot machines, respectively. Now, the Senate Judiciary is supposed to handle that. Congressman Metzenbaum's office has this information. But the point is that Paul X. Salt, Senator Paul X. Salt, is on the Judiciary. And it would be interesting to see if he bows out or what his position is, because, as I said before, when we got to biotech, there was the big story. And then the connections led there, but I don't know if the committee has all that information. I assume that they'll have to go into all those branches of the biotech, but don't give them too much credit. They'll try to limit, and I understand William French Smith will try to limit the range that they can ask. What four areas are you going to ask him? and no more. But there can be an appeal later if you don't like the range, and that's where we have to get the ammunition going. Now, I mentioned biotech last week, and there's more that I've put together this week. And Dr. Stuart Bryan has been a long associate of Edwin Meese, and he and Edwin Thomas. Edwin Thomas is the man who was asked by J. Pendleton James, and we'll do more on him, to get that house sold of Mr. Meese, that he was going through too many problems. And Thomas and Meese and Stuart Bryan all worked with Ronald Reagan when he was the governor of California. Edwin Thomas was named regional director of General Services Administration in San Francisco. First, he went to the White House and helped Edwin Meese as the deputy under Edwin Meese, which would be one of the most important jobs in the White House. This is the fellow that got the house sale moving and then went out to General Services. Now, Dr. Earl Bryan, according to the news sources, may have gotten his security clearance from Edwin Meese. It doesn't say why he needed it. When Ronald Reagan became president of the United States, why Earl Bryan would need it. He not only worked in California with the health, education, welfare under Reagan, but he served on the California Council of Criminal Justice. Now, I told you I have articles filed way back. I'm keeping up with the current things, and we'll get back to the old Earl Bryan. But he wasn't just a doctor. He worked with Meese in this oppressive, what I call the bloodbath, the California terrorist syndrome that came down in California. He served on the criminal justice system. James Jenkins, who's Meese's deputy, presidential counselor, said that Mrs. Meese knew of biotech in September of 1980, but she bought it the 3 days after the inauguration. Now, she's being investigated, and I have on a separate sheet all possible investigations for knowing in advance that this company was going on the market to be sold. Remember, they were heavily in debt. With one house in California, they hadn't sold, with a mortgage over $900 a month. A home in Virginia they bought with another $1,300 a month. So 2 days after the inauguration, she has to put $16,000 into Stuart Bryan's company that it turns out gets special favors of a small business loan of up to $16 million and is one of the companies that bought the slot machines in Vegas. Now, among the firms that biotech has, this one story says that there were many. They have what I consider like large dummy fronts. We don't know much about them, but I'll spell them and tell you the names because it isn't just a simple thing she bought into. The first is Hadron Incorporated, H-A-D-R-O-N Incorporated, in Vienna, Virginia. It's laser equipment, and Dr. Earl Bryan is the chairman and the largest stockholder. Incidentally, in biotech, the many newspaper articles describe the gentleman who is the vice president of biotech that happens to be Earl Bryan's father-in-law also. He's the treasurer, the secretary, and the vice president. So it looks like a mom-pa operation, which I believed right from the start was some kind of a dummy front with medicine as the overcover, but something more to investigate. Another company they have is Cycliphase, biotech subsidiary, and again, Bryan is a principal stockholder. The city isn't listed or the board of directors. Exidy Systems, California Computer, they purchased for $1.6 million. Biotech sued them, and then Exidy, they were supposed to have overstated the price by $1 million, so there's a lawsuit in that company. And last week I mentioned the American Cytogenetics that Mrs. Meese bought into with $500. It has to do with a company in North Hollywood, one of the largest companies that controls pap smears and the diagnosis of cancer. And as I said, I'm very suspicious of the cancer conspiracy in this country and some of these characters that are involved in cancer. The fifth company is the Associated Biomedic System in Buffalo, New York, where they produce human biological products. Biotech has 27% of this company, and they failed the food and drug requirements of the federal government, of their own government, so that is held up in some way. Another is the Financial News Network, in television firm in California, with loans from biotech and options to buy biotech stock for $1 a share. So it does vary how you get in and out of biotech. Another is the new laboratory of American Laboratory, the Cytogenetics, moved to Teaneck, New Jersey, and opened up another branch I'm not sure, is Teaneck where Nixon lives, is that the old home base, or is that the DeLorean family? April 82, he opened up in Teaneck. They're in Buffalo and Teaneck. And then there is another company that they opened up a small business, a Quest Check, that the Small Business Administration gave them the money to $5 million, up to $16 million on a low-interest loan. And this is the one that Mrs. Meese bought into, G-U-E-S-T-E-C-H, a subsidiary of Biotech. And the House Civil Service Committee is looking in not only into how Mrs. Thomas got her job after her husband loaned the money to the Meeses to buy into Biotech, but there's a question of how they had their own $50,000 or $100,000 to put into Biotech. I called Congressman Schroeder's office. They're investigating the Thomas family and asked what the earnings were of the Thomases that they could put up to $100,000 maybe into a corporation that's never been on the market before. Now, Mrs. Meese got interested in September, and her stock purchase is dated January the 23rd, 1981, right after Reagan was president. But an investigation of the company shows that the stock didn't go on sale until March, so I don't know how she bought it in January when it went on sale in March. The Biotech is a wholly owned subsidiary of Capital Corporation, the largest of eight companies. They were given their license in 1981. There was a moratorium on the licenses. They got favorable interest rates, and only eight firms were given exemptions. It turned out today that Mr. Strom Thurmond, Senator Thurmond, was objecting to the small business favoritism, even of his own buddy in the Reagan administration. It turned out that of the eight, it was one of the companies was one that he got a favor for, a small business, but evidently the owner didn't move into the White House and become the deputy under the chief of staff there. He has a different title. Meese is really the man who oversees everything that Ronald Reagan does, and Baker is actually chief of staff. So at the same time that they were getting a loan, a federal loan with low interest rates, Mrs. Meese was hurrying to buy stock. She couldn't wait to buy that stock. As I said last week, even though they were heavily in debt, there was some need to buy it. And at the same time, the corporation was illegally investing $100,000 into Las Vegas slot machines. And they're trying to find out if she had inside training, trading and information. She also sold her stock in these companies that are owned by Brian, the Biotech Group, with its subsidiaries, on a given date, and just the next day it dropped completely down to a couple of dollars. It was worthless. She tripled her investment in a short time and seemed to know to sell it just the day before the bottom dropped out, and that also was pretty cute. Now, the Thomases, were they in a position to loan the $16,000? Obviously, they gave it to her. They should have put the money into the home. And Meese failed to disclose the Biotech company. Now, he claims that this is quite innocent, that the $16,000 they put into Biotech was unimportant. But isn't it interesting, the one that he failed to disclose is the one that has the slot machines in Las Vegas? He said he didn't know how the stock was acquired, and it was acquired from Mr. Thomas, who told him to buy from Earl Bryan. All three had worked together for 15 or 17 years. They were all close buddies, and Meese said he didn't know how it was acquired. And then when they went to search for a Biotech, evidently through the phone directory or somewhere, Meese didn't know where it was or who it was. They looked it up and found the company was in Maryland. And yet, James Jenkins, who's the deputy to Meese, was the reference, point of reference for a man named Dwight Gettle, G-U-D-U-L-D-I-G, Gettledig. He joined Biotech. He had worked in California with Reagan and Meese and Dr. Bryan. He was the chief of Medicaid in California. And he wants a reference to work for this company. And he gets it from James Jenkins, who's the direct assistant deputy under Edwin Meese. And then when the story comes out about Biotech, they don't know what the company is or where it was, even though they gave references to somebody that they worked with through the years and who also helped bail Meese out of his housing problems. Now, the Small Business Administration, of course, will be looking into that loan. When they found out and investigated it, they turned over papers to the Senate Judiciary that they challenged the slot machine investment. And they told QuestCheck to get rid of the interest, but you didn't see anybody fired. You didn't see them tell me stop being in there. The small business loan goes to slot machines. It's absolutely against the law to put money into gambling machines, federal money to start a small business with that kind of operation. Mr. Guttledig listed James Jenkins as the man who gave his reference to begin working for QuestCheck, which is part of biotech. And that's the man, as I say, who headed Medicaid for Ronald Reagan in the state of California. The article that was in the newspaper, one of them, has not named these companies. We have to get who owns the second company, who owns the third company, who they sold to two other companies. There are already five unnamed companies and people that are involved, so it'll get larger. We'll take a one-minute break now and then get back to some more on Edwin Meese. In the meantime, I always ask you to help the station. I don't know how their finances are doing. Kazoo may have some parties or things to get together, and I'm sure they'll be having other things. I couldn't get to the last affair they had because I was in Los Angeles that Sunday night, but there will be concerts and ways also to support this station where we can all chip in and do something for them. And I think that it would be nice to know that everybody who listens to the broadcast has a little piece of Kazoo that they put money in to say, you know, I appreciate the broadcast. And if you do that, I appreciate it too, and that would be great.